Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome into the show that's on in the afternoon, where we highlight local personalities, community happenings, and all the events you need to know about coming up in and around St. John's County. Pete Melfi with you, as usual. Davey Hartzell with you, as usual as well. How's it going, man?
Woo! I'm watching Troy stress out about, you know, this weather and making sure he's pulling it together. He's really doing a good job.
Very busy.
Yeah. Troy,
our local weatherman.
Yeah, equipment and things and testing and making
people
sure.
People in both ears this morning.
Wow.
So he's really, really doing it, man.
Two satellites.
I'm glad he's taking something seriously. To be honest, I'm glad he's taking something seriously.
Yeah, it's good. Nice to see him, like, you know, this is his Super Bowl, like you said.
Yeah. Well, and you've had an exciting day, too. You had to go down to the dealership.
Oh,
you
know? Man. Yeah, I had a giant carpenter nail in my front tire. And yeah, but thanks. Shout out to Steve Miller and the crew. Thank you so much.
Steve Miller is working at
Beans. Oh, yeah, man.
He's a singer.
Super chill, really nice experience.
Okay. One of the,
he's an amazing.
Play some guitar for you while you're there.
Entertainment. They're there to wow me, so why not?
Yeah. That's right. That's a big wow, man.
Yeah,
having somebody like that on staff. That is a big old wow.
That's the one person you need to ask for, you'll never forget. He's an amazing human being, too.
That's right. Well, shout out to Steve Miller.
Yeah, man.
Of Beaver Toyota. Speaking of Beaver Toyota,
yeah,
they're one of the great folks who help us make this show possible, man. We got to give them a big, huge shout out anyway. If you are looking for a vehicle that can save you on gas, wow, especially right now, that's super important.
Mm-hmm.
Beaver Toyota has over 250 vehicles to choose from, getting 30 plus miles per gallon. That's huge. You can swing on by the dealership and get your 15-minute proposal. Davey, other dealerships want to waste your time and they want to waste your money by doing these shenanigans of, oh, let me go back and forth with the manager.
Smoking mirrors,
Yeah, they walk into this room. They don't even talk to these guys about your car. They're just BSing for 5 minutes. They're like, hey, I got to hang on for this customer.
100%.
And they come back and they give you a bad price again. Don't deal with that. Go to Beaver Toyota. Get your 15-minute proposal. Get out of there in the car of your dreams at a price you can afford. Beaver Toyota, they are here to wow you, obviously, not just on the sales side, on the service side as well.
100%. They're there. It's an all-rounder.
Yeah. And speaking of great service, our friends at All American Air. You don't survive in this town if you don't have great service for 42 years. 42 years.
100%. They're amazing.
Coming up on 43 years, obviously. What are they going to be coming up on, 70 years from 42?
I think they're going to keep going.
I think so. They could make it 72 years. All American Air been serving St. Augustine and its surrounding counties, including Flagler, Duval, and Putnam County. So it's not just St. John's. Their areas of expertise include warranty and non-warranty service work on all makes and models of AC units. They can supply you with a great unit as well. They have a very efficient Lennox home system. It's going to save you a lot of money and be keeping you cool, especially when that's coupled with the iComfort Smart. Hang on, Davey.
You got it.
Ultra smart.
Ultra
smart thermostat.
That's ultra efficiency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ultra dollar savings for you. All American Air, give them a call today at 904-461-0070. They are the pros in our area,
man. Yep. Absolutely. Tried and true.
That's it, man. That's it. We got a special guest that we're going to introduce you to here in just a few minutes. Davey, you know, we're also excited about the Masters of Fire series.
I'm so pumped about this.
Yeah, and a lot of people are. Those tickets are going fast. There's only a handful left at this point.
That's
man.
It. That's I was it. Shocked when I signed on this morning and we got a report. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So,
yeah, man. So you guys should probably get some tickets before we even talk to Matt Brown, because I think after we talk to him,
it's going
to
be done.
The rest of them are going to be gone.
I'm ready.
That's it, man. So we will talk to him in just a few minutes. But first, where are we starting today, Davey?
All right. Ridiculous, bizarre, and downright cursed t-shirts that people actually wear out in public.
Ooh,
I found this on Twitter. This
none of these are our shirts, right?
No, I promise.
A great swag store.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
And I would hate for our shirts to be unlucky shirts.
These are some beauties. Okay, first one up. Single and ready and get nervous around anyone I find attractive. Put it out there, buddy.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the way to win over somebody.
This one was at a thrift store. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
Oh, is that... What? Why does that sound like a movie quote or something?
Why did we go to elderberry? Yeah, maybe it is a movie quote.
It sounds like it, doesn't it? Because I just don't understand it if
it's
not.
Fact checking. Blake, Clay, somebody. Just kidding. Next, I wish Cupid would shoot me while looking in the mirror so I could finally love myself.
Wow, that's actually depressing.
On a t-shirt, right? Lift me up there, Josh Groban.
That's pretty bad, man.
Next up, this chick. Pizza, not Putin.
Okay.
Wow.
Making
a statement in the block battery.
All right, I guess.
Next up is Shrimp Whisperer.
Shrimp Whisperer. What does that entail? And why do you need to be whispering to shrimp?
Yeah, what's the story? Yeah.
Huh.
Next up, Dirty Grandpa. Hold my beer while I kiss your girlfriend.
Wow! Okay!
Jeez. This next one, Garfield is just selling it for me on this one. I haven't lost my virginity because I never lose. Get it, Garfield.
Okay. All right.
Next up, this is just creepy.
Oh, wow. What Mickey looks like when he takes off those ears.
Yeah. Next up, dad shirt alert. I didn't fart. My arse blew you a kiss. And next up, it's been a long ass day.
Oh, wow. Look at that. That's a long ass.
And our final one, this is the t-shirt that Tinder should have sold. Any single females want a good man, text me at this number.
I love that it's handwritten. I love that. I got to tell you, a good man would have gotten that printed. Would have spent the money to get that printed.
I think somebody should call and just ask how many good men are in stock.
There you go. There you go. Wow, man. That's interesting. Ooh. All right. So, well, you guys have that number now. So you can call this guy or text this guy if you're looking for a good man who knows how to write on a shirt.
A date for the Masters of Fire.
Yeah. I don't think this guy can afford to take you to Masters of Fire. I'm going to be honest with you. If you're writing on your own shirt, I don't think he can afford to take you to Applebee's. All right. Well, it's not going to get any better here, David. It's Monday, so we've got some horoscopes here for people, and we've got Aries and Taurus on deck.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah. Sorry to you guys. Clay, can we get some horoscope music, sir? There it is. Very nice.
Oh, nice.
Relaxing.
Tranquil, calm.
Just what I need on a Monday. Aries, here we go. Aries. Three words. Learn how to count.
Okay. No, that's four. Learn how to count.
Just waiting for you to catch on to that there, David.
Captain Obvious, right here, doing great.
All right. You will have a chance to encounter romance today.
Ooh.
So take a bath, for God's sake.
Smart idea.
Great idea. Great idea. All right, here we go. Taurus, you are a quick and intelligent thinker. Oh, this is off to a good start.
Okay, okay.
People like you because you're bisexual.
Oh, nice.
I mean, that's everybody. You're welcoming everybody.
Very
right?
Natural. Yes, very natural. Very fine.
You are inclined to expect too much for too little. That means you're a cheap bastard.
Or frugal. Not mad. We're going, you know, it's
frugal.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, those were your horoscopes from Monday, folks. Aries and Taurus, hope you have a great week.
Yeah, Taurus, you're an entrepreneur. I'm not mad about it.
Something like that. Something like that. All right, man. Speaking of entrepreneurs.
Okay.
Vibe Nutrition.
Yes.
Our friends down there at Vibe Nutrition are fueling my sanity every single week.
Every single day.
And that is the truth. Not just my sanity, but my focus, my clarity, my energy levels on this show.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, man. I really am hooked on Vibe Nutrition, and you guys know that's the truth because you see the cups in front of me every single day. I meet a lot of people down there every single morning, a lot of new people, too, who say, man, Pete, I am so glad you guys turned us on to Vibe Nutrition.
Good.
I'm hooked on this place. It does me wonders. It does look like a Ghostbuster type of drink today. Now, this is the Blue Hawaiian.
Okay.
It used to be yellow and blue, but you mix them together. You mix it together, you get a whole mystery color.
Caribbean blue or something. Right. It's very, yes. It's the Aegean Sea. It's amazing.
Yeah. Vibe Nutrition.
Lover.
Right on the corner of Varela Avenue and Lewis Speedway.
And Panache, every guest, every time. Since 1987, Panache opened its doors to be a cut above the rest. Their mission at Panache is to care for their team, guests, and community from scalp to soul and bring this joy to the world one service at a time. The Panache difference is their carefully chosen and highly trained staff. They're there to exceed your expectations. The same goes for their elegant salon space dedicated to guest comfort and devotion to innovation and artistry. They're focused on making your day and continually raising the bar and also align themselves with Aveda's mission of ethical and sustainable business practices. Also, it's high fashion aesthetic. They share Aveda's exceptional standards of quality products, treatments, and guest care, and everything they do reflects the standards of an Aveda salon. Get posh and go to getpanache.com and get with it, boo.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right.
Very good. Let's talk to our special guest. How about that?
Let's bring it in. Let's go.
Man. Yeah. It is time.
Yes.
I got to tell you, I'm so looking forward to this Masters of Fire
event. Me too,
and
sir.
So many other people are. And we know that by the fact that tickets are almost sold out. Woo! Almost done.
Can't believe it, actually.
It's pretty awesome.
So exciting.
I can believe it. I got to tell you, I can believe it. You get five master chefs together.
That's true, yeah.
Five of the best we've got.
Right.
Five of the best, I'm going to venture to say, five of the best that the world has.
I like it. Go big or go home. And one Centurion local nonprofit that is an amazing, amazing one that we're celebrating with Epicure. This is so, so cool.
Yeah. Yes. So very excited right now to introduce you to, who doesn't know him already, Chef Matt Brown in studio here with us. Chef, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, guys.
Today.
Thanks for having me. We're excited to be here.
Man.
Seriously, where do we begin?
I know.
One of the most celebrated chefs in our town.
Yeah. Let's begin at the beginning.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah, it works.
How about begin at the beginning? Chef, where did you start? Where did you first know, man, this food world, this is for me. I want to create things with food.
Man, you know, honestly, I was cooking in the kitchen when I was 9 and 10 years old. I was one of four children, and I learned very early on if I cooked dinner, then I didn't have to wash the dishes.
Oh, so, nice.
You know, I don't mind washing dishes, but I like cooking a whole lot more.
Yeah.
So, you know, my mom taught me a lot, and she was a post-surgery intensive care night nurse.
Oh, wow.
So we always ate dinner around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
So we always had a second meal for my siblings and myself. So I started cooking the second meal. My brothers and sisters were always wonder what I'm going to cook, you know?
Man.
That's when I started to create some of my early masterpieces, if you want to call them that, but really.
Mac and cheese and bacon, bro.
Oh, hey, man, I would put every spice in the cabinet on it to where you couldn't even define the flavor of it, you know? A lot of trial and error back in those days.
So I got in trouble for putting cinnamon in the tomato sauce, but it was actually really good.
Okay. Oh.
Just to dabble do. I mean, that's all I could find. And I was like, I know cinnamon, so it won't ruin it. So silly. But yeah, I know. Yeah. Growing up, did you have any inspirations in the kitchen, or was there anybody that you watched and you were like, oh my gosh, I want to be just like Julia Child? Like,
I definitely watched Julia Child. Okay. Jacques Pepin on PBS.
Oh.
He used to go in there and he would stick his whole finger in the sauce and pop it out.
That's
how
real chefs do it, though, right?
We have tasting spoons nowadays. Please keep your fingers out of it. Yeah. Unless it's my food, then yeah, I'm going
to.
We're going to save that tasting spoon for that time. You know, and I mean, I watched Emeril Lagasse. I got into the Food Network in a little bit. You know, those things are kind of, you know, you get past that point in your culinary career where you realize a lot of those things are sort of aimed at home cooks and stuff like that. But
yeah, sure.
they definitely aided in my development early on. I remember watching Jacques Pepin. I was making a chicken dish with a cognac and flambéed it. And I tried to do the same thing, but I didn't have a gas grill, so it wouldn't flambé. And I just kept on adding more and more cognac. And I came home.
You were drunk on the fumes.
Yeah.
I came home a couple days later from school, and my parents were sitting there, like, very angry at the kitchen table with a bottle of near-empty cognac. And they're like, you want to tell us something? They thought I was getting, you know, lit up on the booze.
You were getting hammered.
I was just trying to cook the, you know, this awesome chicken dish.
What a flambé!
You
know? Yeah. That's the story he's sticking to this day, folks. To this day.
You might have had to taste it a little bit, you know?
You have to, right? Oh, man. So what was your first job cooking? When did you become a professional chef?
I don't know if I can. I mean, my first job in a restaurant, I was 13 years old as a dishwasher.
Yeah.
I had to lie to the chef to get the job there. He's like, you're 14, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I worked for some less than grand corporate restaurants and things like that.
Okay.
I got my first chef's position for when I was 23 years old. I was the youngest in the company at that point in time and was managing an entire kitchen employees. I was actually the second youngest person on my entire culinary staff at that point in time.
Wow.
But I really got my you know, elevated culinary chops. I started working for Ted Peters out of One Ocean Resort in Atlantic Beach. Worked there for a couple of years. And that's where, you know.
That's the Blue Bar, right? Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the restaurant itself is called Azurea, which, you know, stems from the Spanish word for blue.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought I knew how to cook, and then I came into this environment, and it's just, you know, your brain just blows up, and all of the possibilities and all the things. Not only Chef Ted Peters, but, I mean, there was four other sous chefs and executive sous chef, a lot of interns from all over the world. So you just got to see a little bit of everything, and you'd have, you know, a grilled cheese sandwich in one pan, popcorn for in-room dining in another pan, and a piece of, you know, Hudson Valley foie gras searing off in another pan.
Oh.
So you got the full gamut of everything and learned a little bit of all those things. So, you know, it was a great experience, and I don't think I would be the chef, you know, I am today without having that, you know.
Was it intimidating being such a young chef going to some of these places and walking into these kitchens for the first time? Like, did people treat you like you knew what you were doing, or is it you got to prove yourself in a place like that?
When I started working for Stonewood, which is what became my first chef position, everybody thought people were placing bets on how long I was going to last.
Really? Yeah, you
know, wow. Everybody thought I looked like a front of house guy and that I should be on the server staff bussing tables or something like that. And then fast forward 2 years later, I was in charge of the entire kitchen.
Whoa. Yeah. That's awesome.
But you really have to plan out your arguments or your debates with your cooks and stuff like that. So I would kind of play mental chess, and I knew I would plan out what I knew their rebuttal would be, and I'd already be two steps ahead of them, and I would just, you know, shut it down, because people, absolutely right, you know, they're not going to respect you when you're 10 years younger than them, you know?
But
and what are you bringing to the table? What chops do you have? And they're just so used to tradition and keeping on the same routine. But I like how you said you kind of mesh their culture in with your culture and just try to rebrand, I guess, together just to make everything cohesive in the kitchen. But you're known for that. I mean, I have friends that worked with you for years that have said that your leadership skills in the kitchen are amazing because you make everybody feel whole and included. And I think that's important. Like that, it's not, I don't want to be cheesy and say team camaraderie, but it sort of is. Everybody depends on each other in the kitchen. Is that true?
Absolutely. I mean, I want everybody to be positive, have a good time while they're back there. I'm not that type of chef that's going to run around yelling and screaming, maybe, you know, once every 6 months, just to let people know that, like, it's in there,
yeah, in case.
But I think happy chefs make happy food, and, you know,
it's a stressful environment already being in that kitchen. 100 plus degrees, most of them are tiny. I mean, you're working right on top of each other, so you don't need to add any stress to that.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Now internally, though, inside, a lot of times, I'm stressed now, but how I like to try to present myself. Cool, calm, collective, you know, and as long as it comes from the leadership, everybody's going to feel that, and everybody's calm, everybody's more focused, and, you know, we get the job done, and we make people happy, and that's why we're there.
Yeah.
You
know?
Is there a dish that you feel more competent in than others? Like, do you feel like, God, that's my signature?
You know, the signature dish is always the next one that you haven't done yet.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that we've done over the years, but I don't want to be a victim of my own success. You know what I mean? I want to just keep on going and keep on focusing and what's that next thing, you know?
Mm.
So, I mean, I don't want to go back.
You don't have to go back? Yeah, go forward.
Let's keep going. You made a lot of
yummy stuff. I didn't know if there was one that just stuck out that was like, oh my God, that was just an epic time in my life, and I made the best fried chicken. I just blew it all out of the pool. I didn't know if you had one of those trophy moments, though.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what was the kitchen that you worked in that you realized, okay, this is for me. This is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. You know, when was that moment for you?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it was the home kitchen, you know, I think I knew from that, even when I was 13 years old, I would say, I'm going to have my own restaurant one day. You know, when I was, I ended up working for Firehouse Subs for 3 years, believe it or not. And I tried to go get jobs in real restaurants back in those days. If you didn't have the experience or you weren't at least 18 years old, you were not going to get a job in a real restaurant. What's going to happen nowadays with everything that's going on? They'd be happy to have you at this point, you know?
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
So I worked there, and it was the same thing. I mean, I kept telling people one day I'm going to have my, you know, my own restaurant. And I was training to be a GM when I was 18 years old.
Wow.
Sub shop.
So you had this vision.
Yeah.
You had this vision from a young age.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And then, you know, when I was 18, I went out and I was in Jacksonville, and I went to try to go to Mindor and Matthews and, you know, Tom Gray's restaurants, and, you know, nobody would hire me even at that point. I think I had that front of house look to me.
Yeah.
You know, but eventually I got there, you know, ended up from One Ocean. I went to, came down here to Collage, started as a sous chef, and was promoted to executive chef within about a month of being there. Within 2 years, got promoted to dual executive chef of Collage and Black Fly, and, you know, I had a great time there, but there was something, I used to do cooking demonstrations at a farm for Ripe and Ready, and that's where I met Nick Carrera. They tasked me to do a live fire Argentinian asado cooking class, even though I hadn't even really cooked Argentinian food at that point, but I just did my due diligence and research.
They knew you could handle it, apparently.
Yeah, you know, but we had this entire agenda planned out for this day of live fire cooking. You know, at 12 o'clock, we're going to do the salad dressing demonstration. Then we're going to do the chorizo demonstration. And we were out there. The rain started coming in sideways on Nick and I while we were outside grilling. And it was like, let's just throw everything out. Nobody's going to stand out here in the rain with us and, you know, go through this entire dissertation on live fire cooking. So let's just, you know, let's just create a barbecue and just feed some people and have a good time. But sure enough, people were so interested in what we were doing out there.
Yeah.
There was 40 people standing in sideways rain, just with water dripping down their face. And we're just pulling chorizo and leg of lamb and churrasco right off the grill. And that moment right there was when I knew that live fire cooking, that was it. That was it for me, you know? And I went home that night and I pulled out the graph paper and my paper, and I literally wrote out the floor plan for a live fire restaurant and created an entire business plan. This is 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And text Nick and Sebastian at that the next day. I was like, what do you guys think about, you know, turning this into a restaurant? And that's just kind of something that we've been building on for, you know, the next 8 years. And, you know, 2 weeks after I did that event was Thanksgiving. And me and my sous chef, Ryan Rafael, did the entire Thanksgiving dinner on two open fire pits in my front yard. I wish I had an Urban Asado grill at that point.
Trust me,
it would have made things a lot easier. Yeah. And even that day, the rain started coming down on us. But I mean, we roasted off turkey stock, cooked cornbread on an open fire, turned the cornbread into cornbread dressing. I mean, it was just 8 hours. And I just love it. Every time, you know, the kitchen can be very stressful, but every time I get in front of that grill and just start throwing down steaks on it, everything just get calm and I'm just in my happy place, you know?
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Just it for me, you know?
That's amazing, man. And now all that culmination of ideas, all that planning, all that, yes, this is going to work, has finally showed itself in this new location.
Yeah.
This is going to be huge. You guys had a soft opening over the weekend, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tell me how that went.
Well, I mean, like we always do, we threaded the needle. all of the plates and important licenses and things like that came in literally the day before while we were supposed to be prepping food. And we're just back there opening up boxes and sorting through broken plates and finding all the things that we're actually missing that were supposed to be on there, even though we guaranteed it. But you know how deliveries are nowadays.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, we got there and we did what we came to do. And that was make a ton of people happy.
Yeah.
You know, and cook some great food while we were doing it. So
a beautiful moment this week. Everybody loved it. I've not heard a single person. Everybody is raving about it, which is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting. That's opening. What you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what you want in a position like you guys are in right now. This Masters of Fire event.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to me about the level of excitement around this, because I'm hearing so many people who are so excited. I know Nick and Christy so excited. Marcel, we talked to Spencer recently. They're pumped about it. How are you feeling going into this October 16th?
Feeling awesome. Feeling good.
Yeah, cool.
You know, we did this last year out of a little, you know, 24-foot food trailer and set up stations. So now we have this beautiful kitchen, beautiful venue, amazing chefs, top quality chefs. And I mean, that's one of my favorite things about what we do. It brings such a collaborative element. Even one of the rooms that we have that maybe I'm not supposed to be talking about is an actual collaborative room that's going to have visiting chefs. So it's such a competitive industry. And in a lot of the cities I've worked in, stuff like that, it's there. You don't have that sort of camaraderie that we have in St. Augustine and now, you know, Northeast Florida. It's not a competition. We're all there to help each other, make us look our best, you know. Rising tides lifts all boats in the harbor, you know, so beautiful. I'm really excited to work with these guys. I think we all learn from each other and the different types of cuisine, which is very different. We're all going to have a different approach to what we bring to the table. And I think we are going to blow people away.
I know it, man. I keep telling people, if they were to hire you guys like as a team to come to their house and cook for them, I mean, it would be expensive. I mean, it would be. But it would be the night of their life.
Yeah.
You know, it would be amazing. So
to get everybody under one roof, I think
it's so impressive.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's so impressive, and it's going to make for an amazing night. Can you give us any sort of a preview on what you're planning for the Masters of Fire event?
As far as the food?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't tell you that.
Ah!
I can't tell you that. You're going to have to be surprised there. I think,
try, Pete.
No, I tried, everybody. I tried.
I think all of us have plan A, B, and C. And like all of the menus I create or the dishes that I create conceptually in my head, I'll change things up to 30 minutes before service.
You know,
It's 70% planning, and I allow myself that other 30% creative space, especially when it comes to live fire cooking, because we are cooking in four dimensions. You know, it's not just throwing things on the grill. There's the things that can be hanging above. There's the paria, all of the little V channels and the juices that are collected that can be rebasted. You can throw beets and rutabagas and all kinds of things right into the embers and let them cook Riscaldo style. What you're hanging above can be rendering fat that's dripping on what's below that. Yeah, wow. So a lot of things come to you right, you know, sort of in the moment of cooking where you've had it planned out, but you're like, you know what? If I hang this above this thing, it's going to fat base that lobster tail or whatever it is, you know?
Oh, wow.
So I guess you're just going to have to come and find out, you know?
Ooh, man, I just got hungry listening to this. I'm not even kidding. My stomach is like just rolling now, man. Oh, man.
Wow.
Very cool. So you guys have another, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys have another little soft opening this weekend coming up, right? Well,
supposed to be the grand opening, this weekend.
Yeah.
I was supposed to, film another PBS TV show, Thursday, Friday. So we were, pushing that Friday back. So I don't know. We're having a meeting today and we're going to talk about what kind of tickets we have on sale. So I don't want to say anything.
We've got a little bit of a storm out there, too, coming our way.
There's a lot of variables. But like I said, we love to thread that needle. I think no matter what, by the weekend, Friday and Saturday, the weather's going to be beautiful. So I don't think there's any worries there. Be on the lookout. Keep looking at our website. Keep looking at your emails because, we're going to have some things popping up real soon. And it could be more than just that Saturday, but I don't want to,
And so website, exciting. AsadoLife.com, right? That's where they can find out more about what you're talking about and the event, Masters of Fire coming up. They can get their tickets out there as well.
I'll put that in comments.
Very good. Cool. Well, Chef, thank you so much for coming with us this afternoon, man. This has been a really fun conversation. It's been really cool to kind of get inside the mind of one of St. John's County's favorite chefs.
I appreciate that, guys. That's truly humbling. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Man, this just makes me even more excited for this whole Masters of Fire
thing. To see the passion that each and every single chef has is just it's unmatched. I love it. It's amazing.
And it's so cool because I'm picking up a trend here of all these individuals started cooking very, very early. This has been a passion and a call for them for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
So it's really, really cool. And that's why they are where they are today in the culinary world,
So awesome.
Very exciting, man.
A moment.
Yeah. AsadoLife.com. AsadoLife.com. Get your tickets if there's any left, because this is going to be a great event. And again, proceeds going towards Epic Cure.
Amazing.
Fantastic human beings. Just a huge group of volunteers that take time out of their own days to help make sure that other people are fed.
And great sustainable food practices in our town. There's truckers out there with produce that's about to expire where grocery stores aren't going to accept. And, they call up the organization. They divvy it out to other organizations. So it's all full circle. Epic Cure is an amazing, amazing organization. Yep. Can't say it enough.
They really are epic.
Yeah.
All right, man. Hey, speaking of epic folks.
Yes, sir.
Mark Bailey and the Bailey Group. Mark has built upon the foundation of a trusted local insurance agency and developed his company into a nationally competitive firm. The Bailey Group provides insurance, benefits, and financial strategies to companies and employees across the United States while maintaining that local personalized service model that sets them apart from the rest. The Bailey Group provides progressive solutions using cutting-edge technology, strong carrier relationships, and out-of-the-box thinking. Give them a call today. See what they can do for you. 904-461-1800.
And when the United Way of St. John's opened in 1957, it was known as the Community Chest. That was the first year they raised $48,000. The United Way of St. John's has changed a lot, but their focus hasn't. Today, with a total impact of over $3 million annually, they continue to fight for the areas of health, education, and financial stability of every person in our community. Serving both Putnam and St. John's counties, the United Way is the only organization that brings together the focus of the community problems that matter the most. And they find partners that share the vision that have energy, passion, expertise, and resources to get the work done. Every year, the United Way of St. John's is amazed by the generous hearts and continued supports of those in our community. It's amazing what happens when we live united.
That is the truth. All right, man, what do we got coming up that people need to know about?
Okay, over at Cafe 11, don't miss American Blonde, October the 7th. Amazing band. General admission. There's a seated show. All ages are welcome. Dinner is served until concert begins. Very nice. No reserved seating. There is a little bit more information. You can go to Cafe 11 on Facebook and see a little bit more about the artist. But yeah, American Blonde coming October 7th.
Okay.
Yeah, they just celebrated a big anniversary over at Cafe 11. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, that's right. Cool, man. Good for them.
And it's back. Join Beaver Toyota, a free spooky night. Fun for all ages. There's music, photo booth, haunted house, pumpkin decorating, themed decorated vehicles. I know they do a big trunk or treat. Mm. And a costume contest with prizes for the scariest, funniest, and most original and best overall. Each of the following age groups you can see on Beaver Toyota's Facebook page. They will also be hosting a food drive. So please help port in the storm in St. Francis House by bringing canned goods to the trunk or treat over at Beaver Toyota Friday, October 28th, 5 to 7 p.m.
Cool. Very good. Beaver Toyota always doing some fun stuff, man.
Doing some really
cool
stuff.
That's why we love them.
Same thing with the River House. Come join a fun group of guitar course. guitar course that covers more open strings than and dormant seventh chords. Okay, this is guitar level for beginners level three. So I have no idea what the hell I'm saying right now. Sorry, Sugar.
That's why he's struggling with three.
I was
not
like,
even
what?
A beginner level
what
one.
What are these? Yeah.
What are these words?
Apparently, I need to take level one. Yeah, but anyway.
I'm glad you're doing it instead of me because I would have messed it up way worse.
If you're more advanced in the guitar world, check this out on the River House. $35 for a four-week session. Starts October 5th.
Hey, that's 5th. Not bad. $35, 4 weeks.
I mean,
that's
this
really good.
Yeah, sounds like it's taking it up a notch.
Yeah.
Very proud of them.
I always wished I would have had the patience to learn guitar.
Is it guitar? You know? I would have piano. I wanted to learn piano.
Yeah, piano too. My family was real good with the piano and the guitar. Me, not so much.
The guitar, yeah. Would you be electric or acoustic?
I think probably acoustic.
Yeah.
Probably acoustic.
Yeah. I'm sure you learned one. I'm sure they all speak for it.
Yeah, know. Probably. Yeah. But I don't know.
Better no interview clue. Somebody about it.
That's right. That's right, man.
All right. Well, that's some good events for people can chew on for a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Good deal. Well, thank you for putting those together and letting everybody know. Thank you to our special guest chef, Matt Brown. What an inspiration, man.
Honestly, yes.
And really has me so much more pumped about Masters of Fire. So,
so
exciting.
Excited.
Don't forget to go to asadolife.com and get those tickets today before they are gone. They could be all gone today. Mm. They may be all gone today, Dave.
I'm ready for it. Let's do this.
That's it, man. Hey, you guys have a great rest of your day, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, everybody.